As a greenhorn pastor, I started my first full-time call to ministry in Rogersville, Alabama, in the year 2000, some 14 years ago, I think, if my math's right. I did that right on the spot. How about that? Pretty impressive for a Faulkner boy, huh? Near about 14 years to the day, getting close. And as I approached that people of faith over there in Alabama, and I arrived there and started ministering to them, I found a very diverse group of people. I found a real hard, long-standing, conservative, Republican, opinionated group of people in that church. And I also found some very progressive, liberal, free spirit, democratic people in that church. And in the middle of those two, I found a whole lot of people that were just doing the best they could to kind of be a little of both. And I found this complexity of all these different people, at first in my mind, to be very confusing. I didn't know who to minister to. Was I supposed to concentrate on the real traditional conservative type folk, or be open to the real liberal progressive, and or just speak to the middle and the moderate? And finally, I realized, you know, what I was called to do was just be myself and who God called me to be. And in being myself, you know what I found? I found they loved me for who I was. But more than that, I, the one who went supposing to minister to them, they, guess what, ministered to me in the process, and they taught me. Not only did they love me as I was, but you know what those crazy people did in that church in Rogersville, Alabama? Those crazy people that had conservative folk and liberal folk all in the same house of worship, you know what else they did? Not only did they love me as I was, they loved each other as they were, seeing one and the other as brother and sister beyond their differences in beliefs, in opinions, and maybe in some ways in how they practice their faith. Yes, I went there to minister, and I received ministry and learned from the essence of what it means to be the church. To know that the church of Jesus Christ is made up with a lot of different kind of folk. Folk that we don't agree with on everything. Why, isn't that even the way our households are made up? I know that Manya and I certainly don't agree on everything. How about you, husband and wives? Are you children and parents? Are you best friends, even in school or at work? I heard someone say once, if two people agree on everything all the time, well, then the truth is only one of them's doing any thinking. Because we're never going to always agree on everything. Because we're different. And in our differences, we're people embraced by the grace of God. Now, on this day of worship, I was asked back before I began if I was going to address the decisions of our General Assembly as a denomination, and I was given an option out today. I could have ignored the decisions of our church, because the out I was given was, I think, in some ways freeing to us as people of St. Andrew Presbytery, as people of the state of Mississippi. Our General Assembly recently voted to allow in the states where it's legal to share in same-gender marriage for those ministers to practice that if they feel led to the Spirit. Now, the out for me was that our state does not recognize that as a legal form of matrimony. So it doesn't apply to our presbytery. It doesn't apply to us as a congregation, a denomination. And the beauty, I think, in some ways of that statement also says, for those who feel so inclined that the Spirit leads them, they're not mandated in any way to practice the celebration of marriage in ways that contradict their views of how marriage was wholly ordained by God. So I had an out. I didn't have to talk about this today. But the question has still been asked to me by some is that how can people of faith read the Bible and believe that such decisions are consistent with the nature of God? We hear our scripture today and we hear where Paul talks about sin. And he reminds us that sin is a symbol of us being dead to Christ. It's the separation of us from God. And through Jesus Christ, we're alive. We're made new. We're restored to life with God. Paul speaks and reminds us it's a free gift, but he also says we're called to resist sin. Now, we believe that as people of faith, don't we? We believe that we're saved by grace, but still, in our being saved, we don't want to live in sin. So the question arises for some of us more traditional views of faith is, how can anybody view same-gender marriage as not being sinful? Well, my friends and brothers of the church who view that would probably say that in their biblical view, that when the Bible speaks against same-gender relations, it's speaking of the ritualistic, the aggressive, the abusive, the prostitute-type behavior. They would say that the Bible speaks against that sin no more than any other sins. Why? The more traditional approach to faith would say that there are scriptures that speak of the destructive nature that this gives to our relationships. It reminds me and calls me to struggle this morning of sin is the separation that we all have. Paul says also in Romans 3 here, he reminds us in Romans 3:10 that no one is righteous in their works. In other words, all of us have fallen short of God's glory, he would say. On in chapter 3, verse 22, he reminds us that we're only righteous through faith in Jesus Christ because we've all fallen short of glory. So for my view, for me personally, this is me as a minister of the faith, not representing your session or this church. I say to you, as I see the decision of our General Assembly this week, for me, when a person practices a homosexual lifestyle, I view that as sinful. But they view aspects of my life as sinful as well. I'm not perfect either. As I look to my brother or sister who has sinfulness in their life, I have to hear the call of Jesus, who says, in my look and approach at trying to remove the speck from the brother, I can't also ignore the plank in my own eye. Now, as I view that type of lifestyle as sinful, I also believe it's not a salvation issue. In other words, I don't believe that anyone who practices that lifestyle is going to hell. And maybe you say, well, the Bible says that. The Bible does say that. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, the Bible says this, wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, among those it says, listen to this list, idolaters, adulterers, greedy, drunkards, and robbers. In other words, I think what Paul is saying there, that in our broken state, we will not be in heaven. God will restore all of us. All of us sinful people. We won't be the shadow of what we are now in heaven. I believe that Paul is consistent, and that's the belief in our church and our faith, that we're saved by grace through faith. That's how he records it in our passage today. In Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 22, he says that it is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe that we are restored from our sinfulness. He says it here in verse 23, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it's only by faith in Christ that we're restored. These are tough times in our church. It's hard when we have decisions in our larger church that we disagree with and people we disagree with. And the easy way out would be say, well, let me go find a church where I agree with every decision everybody makes and we all agree and worship alike. That's the easy way. But I'm convinced, friends, that heavenly realm is going to look more like that congregation in Rogersville, Alabama, where we're all a little bit different. We're not going to all agree on every issue. Some of us are going to be more conservative. Some of us are going to be more liberal in heaven. Some are going to view this lifestyle as sinful, while others will view it not as sinful. But the truth is, we all, in the words of our anthem this morning, are in need of a Savior. We all are broken people as we come here in this house of worship today. Who are we to look with judgment on the sin of our brother and sister when we have our own sin that consumes our life? What if we make our call to faith as the church and as people of worship to not concentrate so much on what separates us from one another, but in the words of our Holy Scripture today, embrace what unites us as people of faith, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm glad to be a part of this church. Not because I always agree with every decision. Not because every person in this church believes just like me. But because in the great heritage of our denomination and in our faith, we find a melting pot of people. Of people who don't all look like us. And don't all believe like us, but are all in need of a Savior just like us. And through it all, Jesus loves us, saves us, and claims us as it all, as his own. May we never stop preaching and proclaiming the rugged cross of our Savior. Amen. Our response to faith today.